Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is Pam Drennan, and this is the Cosmic Contact Show coming to you from the RBR Network, and we're located out of Memphis, Tennessee, and I am speaking to you from Redmond, Washington, and what a beautiful day it turned out to be today. And we're so glad that everyone has called in, and we're going to have the best show tonight. My guest this evening is Drew Nicholson, and he has got a lot of good things to share with us this evening. Drew is a relationship coach, and so he is going to tell us when we might be getting in trouble with our relationships. I feel so funny. I don't have my paper with me right now, but here I found it. Just for everyone's information now, anyone can call into the show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford Live or by going to the archives, which are available shortly after the show finishes. Now, if you're not online or you have someone who wants to hear the show, you can call in 347-838-9142. And if you have a question, you have to call the same number, 347-838-9142. And Annie, the moderator, will get you in and get your question ready for this evening because it's going to be a great show. And again, Drew has a lot of good topics that we're going to be talking about this evening. But before I bring Drew in, I want to tell you about the network. We have a show every day of the week, several on some days. My day, Monday, is always at 4:30. That's Central Standard Time, the Cosmic Contact Show. Tuesday is the I Am Well Show. That's at 8 p.m. And then the Night Search Show is at 9:30 p.m. on Tuesday. Wednesday is the No Show, and that's at 7 p.m. The Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program is live, and that's at 8:30. All these are live shows, unless they say they're being rebroadcasted. On Thursday, the Progressive News Weekly is at 5:30 Central Standard Time. And Friday is the Searchers Roadmap Show, and that's at 1 p.m. The Dream Vision 7 show is at 3 p.m. And Saturday is Soul Town. That is the Sound of Music, and that comes from at 3 p.m., and that's from Memphis, Tennessee. And Sunday, again, we have the Dream Vision 7 show, and that's at 3 p.m. So anyway, we're going to have a really interesting and fun time this evening. I want to tell you now about my guest. I'm really excited to have Drew Nicholson back again. He is very interesting and definitely enlightening, and he's fun, too, and he has a good sense of humor, which I love all those qualities in anyone. He is a relationship coach and a student of the ancient healing and spiritual shamanism of Hawaii, and it's known by its modern or Western label called Huna, which means the secret to life. And tonight, Drew is going to be sharing with us signs that it might be time to end a dysfunctional relationship. And also, how can you get more respect from your mate in your relationship? So it all kind of goes together, as you will see. Drew is also a practitioner of the Jungian psychology. He is certified trainer of neuro-linguistic programming. He's a trainer of hypnosis. He's into metaphysics. He has interest in tarot and astrology. And so he's got a lot of good things to share. So I'm going to bring Drew in. Hi, Drew. How are you this evening?
Hi, Pam. I'm great.
It's a beautiful day here.
Okay. I know. It has not been pretty this morning. It did get gorgeous. I sat outside for just a few minutes before the show this evening, and it just felt so good. I bet you've been out in it most of the day.
I did get out for a run. I had to take off my sweat jacket. It got a little bit warm.
Uh-huh. I've been seeing your neat little Facebook videos that you've been putting up. Those are really interesting, your little thoughts for the day. Keep doing that. I like what you share. Well, Drew, we got a lot to talk about this evening, and I know you gave me some questions earlier, and I wanted to ask you, okay, so how do you know when it's time to go?
Well, it's actually a pretty easy question if you know what it is you want and require in your intimate relationship. And so the high level view, the 100,000 foot view, is that if you're not getting what you want out of the relationship and there's no hope of the partners choosing to serve each other, then it's kind of run its course. And this isn't just me. I actually learned this the very first time from a Christian book about called More Than a Match by some people who are both Christian ministers and have master's degrees in some sort of sociology that relates to relationships, the Smalleys. And the basic principle is that when two people get together, they have to really be committed to serving each other. They have to decide that the other person's way of feeling in the relationship is important, and they work together to satisfy each other in doing so. And so quite simply, when that's not occurring and it can't be corrected and there's no respect for each other in the relationship, then it's really the end at that point. Sounds like you want to say something.
Well, you know, I agree with you, just exactly what you said. And when there's no energy there and you're not communicating on the same, you know what I find too, when I feel myself feel disconnected in a relationship, it's like we invariably miss phone calls or we'll miss each other or different things. It's almost like the universe is kind of setting it up to, you know, to separate us if that's how we're feeling. I've had that happen before. Or, you know, just couldn't communicate well on the phone call either.
Yes. I mean, there's so many little signs or big signs. Let me start with big signs. Like if you've got a situation where, you know, you've got physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse going on, those are relationships that need to end. That's not appropriate. If you've got a situation where the two partners agree that they are in a monogamous relationship, as in they're not having sex with other people, one of the partners violates that boundary, then it's time for it to end. A lot of people get in the mindset that when it's not working at that level, there might be other mitigating factors that make them decide to stay in, which isn't a good idea, because if you have a boundary about something like that, it's not a good idea to ignore your boundaries. And people are very creative in finding ways to rationalize not enforcing their boundaries. This is a real big problem in life, and you see it everywhere. And when they do it in their intimate relationship, it can create all sorts of troubles. And my favorite example of this is I have a couple of friends, and apparently they weren't getting along very well. The husband was cheating on the wife, and they decided to get – either they decided to get divorced or was thinking about it. And then they discovered that the wife is pregnant. And instead of going ahead and getting divorced because boundaries have been violated and then they'll figure out how to effectively raise their child being apart, instead they decide to stay together and convert to what they call an open relationship. And these two people are sitting across the table from me and telling me about how much they have to communicate with each other to make that work. And I'm thinking, like, why do you need to work so hard to make it work when you could just, like, not be together and work something else out and invest your time elsewhere. And then the reason why enforcing these boundaries is so important is that, so one, you know, they're telling me how proud they are. Their daughter is like totally okay that on New Year's Eve, the guy is with his girlfriend and the wife is with her boyfriend and they're all in the same house and it's a happy, happy, happy group. And then it wasn't too long later that, and, you know, raising a teenage daughter, I understand, is kind of challenging. And basically the man had gotten to the point where he realized that his daughter actually is the devil. She wasn't respecting, get this, his boundaries about something. So when you don't hold on to your boundaries about things, especially into an intimate relationship where you've got the energy of sex going into it, it's bound to come back and bite you in some way. So you've got to know what your boundaries are. Personally, my boundaries in an intimate relationship are that we have to fully support each other at self-actualization, at being who we are, at just being completely open and honest with each other about who we are, what we want in life, how we are as human beings, and being that person. And then absolutely no physical violence. I always tell my girlfriends shortly after we get together, if it's going well, I say, by the way, just so you know, if either of us strikes the other in anger, it is done and there's no going back. And then my third boundary is that of monogamy, because I just happen to believe that's a pretty good choice. And so once two people decide they're going to get together, they stay there. So if any of these sorts of things are occurring, then it's time to bring the relationship to an end. What sorts of boundaries are important to you?
Well, you know, when you were talking about boundaries, I'm just going to be totally honest. I'm not great with that because of confrontation. And so I have a really hard time with confrontation. So for me to set a boundary, you know, I almost go the other way. But I would like, but I'm getting better at it. And I realize that, you know, I guess I just don't want to have an argument or a fight or something. And I think I'm afraid if I set a boundary, then that's what's going to happen. Does that make sense to you?
That totally makes sense. And that's perfect, because that's one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight is how do you talk about things?
Okay.
Because, you know, if things aren't going well, you got to do something. And if you end up deciding you got to leave, you're going to have to say something. You know, today, in today's world, we've got all sorts of really powerful tools. If you're in a relationship on Facebook, you can actually break up by just ending the Facebook relationship and then blocking the caller ID of your partner. But, of course, if you're living together, that might not work so well. Some people break up over text, but realistically, you got to have a discussion. And if you're in the kind of relationship where you actually can't have an honest and open discussion about what it is that's important to you, it's probably not a good relationship to begin with, and it probably needs to end, or you need to add that aspect back in. Because if there's not that open communication, the flow of sharing of knowledge of what you like and don't like with your partner, then you've got basically a dog or a cat in the house.
That's true.
Taking up space. They're sitting on the couch next to you when you're watching a movie, or they're sitting at the table when you're eating and they're silent. So what you got to do is you got to recognize that you're speaking from your heart when you talk about what you care about. And if you don't feel that you can do that and share that with someone, then you've got an issue. Now, and you have to say this the right way as well. You know, so if, let's say, here's one of my favorites. Quite often, you know, it's the man's job to take out the garbage. And I've known plenty of women who don't think that they should need to tell a man that, which is fine, because, you know, after a little while, we pick things up. But let's say you've got a greener on your hands and he doesn't know these things. And so you just say, oh, hey, honey, would you mind taking out the garbage? And would you mind taking that as one of your household chores? Would that be okay with you? You know, it's something simple. You just got to say, or, oh, hey, honey, I could really use a foot rub tonight. Or, oh, hey, honey, I would really appreciate it if you would leave the toilet seat down. You know, all these little things you ask for, you just say, would you do this? You're not telling, you're asking, and you're doing it in a gentle manner, and you're opening a discussion about something. And you're coming from your heart, because you've got to remember, why am I with this person? And if you're not having some sort of a feeling coming from your heart about that person, then you've got, you know, a little bit of an issue. I'm even going to cut people some slack here. You know, we live in a world where people get very mental and very focused on the physical. Okay, if you're not feeling the feelings from your heart, get in touch with whatever feeling it was that brought you two together in the first place, and grab a hold of that feeling. It might be a little lower than the heart. It might be a little above the heart. Wherever it is, grab a hold of it. Because what that is when a relationship begins, there's a spark that comes down from the spiritual, and it comes out in some way. Some part of the body is going to light up because that energy from above comes in. You go, wow, I'm interested in that other person in some way. Might be even just for the night, but that's where it comes from. And so you've got to, like, get back in touch with that connection you have with Source, with God, whatever it is you choose to call it, and be able to have that come through in your communication with the person you're with. So when you are opening up the conversation about something that you're thinking is a potential conflict, instead you're connecting with that energy of connection, and you're connecting with the idea of having a conversation about something that builds the connection. And again, if that's the sort of thing that gets rejected by the person you're with consistently, that is another sign it's time to go. And so part of what I want to get communicated tonight is that there's signs that it's time to go, because the things that make a relationship work aren't working. More than anything else, the signs that it's time to go are that the things that make a relationship work aren't working. That's why I said you're not getting what you want. Boundaries are being violated. It can be something as subtle as someone who actually chooses to leave the toilet seat up just to irritate the person they're living with. You know, whatever it is, these things are situations that you have to decide whether or not it works for you or not. Does that make sense?
Of course, it does.
Connect with the energy of connection. Right.
I know myself, everything you're saying is so true and it's so right on. It's just that when you first get in a relationship with someone and, you know, you're getting to know them and everything, and you go, okay, I'm going to date them for a while and see how it goes, and so it can be good for a while. But then I think sometimes it seems like you start to see patterns and things that, you know, that, oh, that guy's been crazy if he's going to do that again or blah, blah, blah. And then when you do say something to them, it's like, if you're not said in the right way, it could crush them, as it would me too. But it would to be able to say it and then would say, okay, well, I'll work on that. And they might work on it for a little while, but I think the thing is you just got to really accept them like they are. Can you really change people that much or get them to change that much?
God, no. Please, please, please. The number one relationship mistake I think most people make is that somehow, in some way, they're going to get someone to change.
Yeah.
Such a bad idea. You want them to be who
I
they
know.
Are. And
right.
Instead of looking at it from a perspective of, can I get this person to change, is this a person who's going to be in a committed relationship with me and is going to serve me? And here's the key, as I serve them. There are specific places in the Bible, calls out the husband to serve the wife, or where the wife is called out to serve the husband, and it's not an option. When you make commitment before God in marriage, you are making a commitment to serve each other. And this is, you know, ancient wisdom that comes to us from many cultures, that when two people come together, they got to do that. It just doesn't work if they don't do that. And so it's not about changing the person. It is potentially about changing a behavior. And if you're with someone who cares about you,
I was saying a behavior, something that they're doing that's just like that's, I mean, and they'll say, yes, I can, but I realize that most people, they can't. It's kind of ingrained in them, or they forget, or they don't care, I don't know. But I think those things, sometimes they just build up different ones, and so first two or three bobs do, now there's four or five, and, you know, and then it's like, okay. So, yes. So we go down that path, and I'm not the only one, and I know there's people listening online. Drew, let's bring somebody in. We've got a few people that would like to talk to you. And then we're going to talk some more. Okay. Now, also, I want to tell everyone, if you want to talk to Drew at any time, you can call him at 206-914-0127. His website is drew@drewnicholson.com. Okay, let's bring our first caller in is Jackie Boyd. She's from Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Hey,
hi, Jackie.
Hi,
Jackie.
Hey.
Hi, Drew. I really hope you can help me tonight. I don't want a relationship.
Okay.
And I think I'm healthy with it.
Sounds great.
So I just wanted to know, was I in denial about something? Do you feel like I'm in denial about something? But I just really don't want one, and I'm really too lazy to go into a relationship.
Well,
it takes a lot of work.
I think that's fine. Yeah, it does take a lot of work.
Good.
My fiance and I, when we got together, we met at a conference, and it was after we both left that we kind of realized there was something there. And we like to complain that we ruined each other's perfect single lives.
Okay.
And so the best place to be to get into a relationship is totally content with where you're at by yourself. And then be in a place where it's not that you need or have any feelings of need to be in a relationship, but because you choose it and you want it. And
right.
There are spiritual paths where you're supposed to not be with a partner, and you make the choice. You're consciously choosing, I'm not going to have a partner. And there's other people for whom their choice is they don't want a permanent partner. It's a totally normal thing, you know. It just depends on what you want to do with your life. I think that's a very, very healthy choice. If I heard in your voice something like, I'm never letting somebody do that crap to me again, then maybe I'd call you on that, but I'm not hearing it.
Good.
And I'm not feeling it. So
we were married. My husband and I were married for 25 years when he died, and we had a very good relationship with each other. And there was a whole lot of respect. So, you know, I don't feel like I've missed anything. But at one point in my life when everybody was telling me, oh, you need a partner, you need a partner, I went, okay, God, if I need a partner, fine. Otherwise, make me happy where I am. And I'm very happy where I am. I'm creating the life I love to live, and it's okay with me to not have a relationship. But that doesn't mean I'm healthy in all areas.
Well, well, there are multiple areas of life. You know, you got to enforce your boundaries in all the areas of your life. I mean, if you're happy to where you're at in the relationship front, tell your friends that I'm happy where I'm at. But if you're thinking that your spiritual connection needs more, you work on that. If you're thinking that you have some family ties that you want to invest in, we work on that. You're not as healthy as you want to be in your money and finances or in your home or in your health, your physical health, then you set goals and you work towards those things. You know, in any aspect of your life where you're doing something, you have to invest effort. You have to put energy into it. Relationship is no different. And if you're in a place in your life where, you know, if you've had an amazing marriage, you know, one of the things that I learned, the reason why people probably shouldn't be having premarital sex is just so that they don't end up comparing the partner they decide to be with prior partners. You know, you've been married, you had a great marriage. Are you going to top it? Do you want to try? Those are choices and questions only you can answer. You know, so I would say just, you know, be happy where you're at, like you said, and focus on your health in other areas where you say that you need to do some work.
Right. Like on my eyesight. Okay, I appreciate that, and I am working in other areas of my life, but I feel real content about being who I am. And I am continually, always deepening my relationship with myself.
Perfect.
I think that's the biggest thing I need to be doing. So
that's what life is about, Jackie.
I know. I'm so glad to be where I'm at. And I hope everybody that calls in, you can help them get to that place.
I'll do my best.
Thanks. I really enjoyed it. I appreciate your backing and your support. And have a great evening. Love you guys.
You do the same now.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was great, Drew, and isn't it wonderful, you know, I understand that. I think that it's great to feel whole and complete in yourself, and you don't have to go out there and have somebody that completes you. It should not be that way, but everybody seems to want to be in a relationship, and even when you're not in one, people would come up to me and say, well, you really need to, you know, to get out there and start meeting some men. And I'm going, well, yeah, I'm happy right now. I'm okay. You know, I'm taking a break here. Okay, one question now. So say things are just really not working. The question is, how do you leave? How do you leave a relationship where you're not beat up or... And the rejection, I don't care, even if it's a good thing, everyone feels rejection when you have a relationship breakup.
Well, in the cases of some of my ex-girlfriends, let's see, you know, one can get it on an elevator with me, and before we even get to the hotel room, she says, we're done. Or you can have the situation where you come home, and all of your girlfriend's stuff is in the front hall, except what she got in her car that night, and she's gone. There's a great variety of ways you can end a relationship. And the best way is to just end it. The times I've ended a relationship, it's, you know, here's the problem. This isn't working for me. I've done everything I can. I'm done. And if it comes across as a surprise and maybe you didn't communicate your dissatisfaction enough or in a way that your partner didn't get to hear it, but which is why it's really important to have that open communication and make it clear that these are things that you want and need in a relationship and their boundaries. And it's pulling the Band-Aid off. You just get together, you have that sit down and you say, I'm done. There's just really no other way to do it. You have to be direct. You have to be clear, and you have to decide that done means done. You know, you can't like be saying, well, if you do this or you do that, then we can stay together or we can get back together. No, done means done. And then you need to just literally hold space for that person, which is be silent and sit there. You know, some people want to like get, you know, they've got baggage and they want to like hear that the other person's going to be okay or that this, that, or the other thing. And you've got to let that go, because if you're in a relationship with somebody and it's not working, by far and away, the best thing to do is to end it for both of you. Because I would hate to imagine, I just, the most horrible thing I can imagine is let's say you stay in a relationship, you're not happy, and your partner's on their deathbed, and you say, I'm so happy you're dying. I'm going to go live the life I've wanted to live for the last 20 years. Now that you're gone. I'm terrible, both of you. So it's really the only way. You have to, when I was a manager and I had people reporting to me, I always liked it when the yearly reviews had no surprises. You know, anything that was an issue, performance-wise, had been discussed at regular weekly meetings. And if you're with somebody, I'm going to assume you're talking with them all the time, and they need to just know. You know, they need to talk. And I don't think, in one of my relationships, it was kind of surprising. when she left. But generally, you know that it's not going to be too much of a surprise. My previous girlfriend, she left, and it was basically for the issue that she'd been harping on me for the whole time we were together. And she was asking me to do something. There was just no way I was going to do it, which was go back to a corporate job if I had any money in the bank at all, because I don't want to do that. I want to run my own business. So these things aren't surprises. You just end it, you're done, and you move on. Then you talk about the breakup. You're not talking about the relationship. You're talking about the end state, who gets what, where everyone's going to live, all that kind of stuff, the logistics. It's a logistical discussion at that point. That's how you do it.
Right.
There's no other way.
Okay. Well, sometimes it's going to be, people are going to go, okay, I'm upset, but, if you're not happy, I want you to do your thing, and I'm, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes they're upset and they're angry and they don't understand, and it just happens. Okay, we have another caller. Let me get off the spot here. I'm going to bring Kuulelani.
Kuulelani.
Hi there.
Are you there?
Yes, hi.
Kuulelani?
Yes.
Have we heard from you before?
Yes, you have.
I know. I thought so. Not too many people have that name.
Right. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Well, my question was, when you leave a toxic relationship, how do you really break the cycle? I mean, it's one thing letting go, but it's another thing, like, not going back into it, especially when there's children involved. Like, what do you think about that?
Well, you can't change the other person and their attitudes. And so if you have children involved, hopefully you can work things out and you don't end up in the courts. I know people have ended up in the courts and you're just, that's just a horrible experience. I have one friend who had her children was with her ex, and he had been lying. The judge finally threw the thing out. And then strangely enough, out of nowhere, because apparently Washington family court judges are crazy people, said, well, now that the children have been with this person for so long, it was like a year, maybe moving them back with their mother isn't the right thing to do. So let's leave them with the guy who was lying for the past year about this lawsuit and bad-mouthing their mom. Anyway, you don't want to do that. What you do want to do is do everything you can to be right with the breakup. And since I happen to study Hawaiian stuff, we have a thing called Ho'oponopono, which some people may have heard of. And so you want to do Ho'oponopono with the person that you're breaking up with. Very important, especially if there's any kind of challenges. So and the best way to study Ho'oponopono is you can look it up on the web. I'm sure there's resources.
Yeah, no, I know what it is.
Yeah.
And I've had that many times with him. It's just that, I don't have a problem letting go. It's more that he does. And as far as boundary goes, I try to go down that path and I think about it. And I was shown through action that, like my personal boundaries were lines, like, where it got physical because of out of frustration. Like you say, it's over, it's done one time, that's it. It took 10 years, but it was one time and I was done. But he didn't want to wait like a whole 10 years over that one issue.
Yeah, some people are really slow to learn lessons, which I'll admit I am too, but where in that particular area I try not to be. You can only do your best, and you don't get to decide somebody else's choices. So when you do Ho'oponopono, when you do a release process to release whatever emotions you can find that might be in you, where you're in, literally inviting. I don't mean to say that you're creating this, but I'm saying that there's something in you that you might have something to learn from this situation. And when you let go of the negative emotions on that and you get the learnings, sometimes that helps. I've seen that happen again and again. And it still occurs that people are really crazy and want to be difficult. So there's a
yeah.
whole spectrum from a relationship ends and everybody's cool with it and you're done and we'll work it out. Like when I got divorced with my ex-wife, it was very smooth. We split everything up. I made certain agreements to her that my subsequent partners aren't real happy about, but you know, she made it easy. So I said, she'll always be okay. So there's that. If she ever needs money, she gets it. It's not really an argument. All the way to the opposite end of the spectrum of where somebody's like, you're the only person for me, and I'd rather, you know, see you hurt than not with
me. Make her miserable, yeah, instead of helping you, right.
Yeah, and that's just the way people are. The key is that you've got to enforce your boundaries, you've got to stand your ground, and do your best to look within yourself and see if there's something you need to learn from the situation. This is what Jackie was saying. Get in touch with yourself. Who am I that I got into this in the first place? How did I create this? What did I do? What can I learn so that I don't do this again?
I did, and you know, like I did, and what it is, it's like I don't pay attention to the red flags. And you know, like when you feel like you love somebody so much that like, and it's so difficult to make things work and you're not like evenly yoked or seeing eye to eye, or you're just not compatible. Like just situations shouldn't have even occurred, and it wouldn't have occurred if there was mutual respect from the get-go. And my problem was I was forcing it for so long, and I'm like, you know, and I prayed this prayer. Like, I hope he feels what I feel for him and I feel what he feels for me. And I'm like, he felt nothing but obligation. And now he feels like the intensity of what I was feeling, and actually he can't handle it, and I regret praying that, because I'm like, I shouldn't have wished that upon anybody, because no, you don't know how people are going to deal with the emotions that you deal with, and some people can't handle it. And I really think that, you know, once it goes away, once the power of the manifestation of the thought and the energy towards that and the prayer really goes into full effect of me, like, you know, I'm sorry that I prayed that prayer. I really want you to forgive me. I love you. I'm sorry. You know, thank you. Thank you for the lesson you taught me, because the lesson was like, if it's not meant to be, it's not going to be. So you shouldn't make it work, because it's going to be 10 times worse down the road 10 years later than if you just walked away. Even if, you know, just like you were talking about where you stay together or you do compromise for a child, what you think is the right thing really when it's not, you know?
Well, again, there's two ways to say it. There's anytime two people get together, there is compromise, you know, like I just said, you know, I had my perfect single life, and you can have that. And as soon as two people get together, there's going to be some compromise on certain things. You have to be clear, though, whether or not you have an emotional charge about the compromise, whether it's violating a boundary, whether it's the right thing for everybody. And then the question you have to ask yourself is, I can make this work. When you say that's the red flag. And you have to say, are you saying it from the positive perspective of, yeah, we can work this out, it's not a big deal? Or it's like, I can do, I'm Superman, I can make this work, I can make all these changes, I can do all this stuff, I can work really hard, I can blah, 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 blah. And that's bad. And you just got to be aware of when you're doing that.
Right. Well, that was a lot.
That's all there is to it.
So thank you. Thank you for confirming that and right on for doing what you do. And thank you again. And thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. Thanks for your question.
That was a great question. And it is so hard to end a relationship when, you know, last year, maybe year before, I had a client that came in and she had gotten a divorce and she'd been married like 12 years or something. And her husband, she found out her husband had been running around on her almost from day one. And I said, and she's in after the divorce, and everybody came forward and said, well, you know, your husband didn't, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you mean have you with him for 12 years and you didn't have a sign? She was like, I just couldn't believe it happened, you know. And she said, well, you know, when you love someone, you want to trust them. You want to believe, you know, that they are being truthful and they're, you know, they're telling you the truth, which is true. That is a big part of it.
You have to do that. You can't be in a relationship, especially an intimate relationship, if you don't have trust. And that's why respect is so important. You have to have respect. You have to have trust. And then you're just, it to make it work, both parties are both completely exposed and vulnerable. I know it sounds scary, but that's the way it should be. When a person sees someone, again, I talked about how that little spark from spirit comes down. It lights up. Right after you feel that spark, when you see that spark of attraction with another person, you should have what some people call a brown trouser moment. Because there's also something about that person where you're like, oh, I'm scared, because it brings up your stuff about commitment, being vulnerable, trusting, having to step up in your life. Because like for a man, if you get together with a good woman, she's going to expect you to be everything you can be, and she's going to support you in that. But if you don't do it, she's going to say, well, why are you wasting my time? And then for a woman, she's going to see a man and she's going to be like, oh, he's going to like expect me to, you know, be there for him if he's having challenges. And when I say man and woman, you know, I'm talking about the masculine and feminine roles in the relationship, who's going to be out in the world and who's going to be taking care of the home, or if they're both going to be out in the world. Like my fiance wants to get another corporate job and move here to Seattle, you know, but there's still all these aspects of how people bring energy into the relationship and they support each other totally, again, in what I said, in being who they are, in actualizing, in fulfilling their values in life for everything other than a relationship. So, and so this is something I wanted to bring in, which is, how do you bring the passion back to a relationship? Now, let's start with the idea of two people who are young, they get together, they need each other, and they're actually using each other to self-actualize, because the parts of them that they don't feel complete, they're going to seek in their partner. And then one by one, they take on those attributes themselves. They no longer need that person to be that way for them, because now they have it within in themselves. So this energy that was holding the relationship together gradually fades over time. And that's not a bad thing. That's a totally normal thing. If two people who are 18 or 20 get together, I don't expect them to be fully actualized human beings. I expect them to be on a path, and they get together to help each other on those paths. And the relationship can come to an end when they find they don't need each other to feel complete anymore. However, if they have been putting energy into the relationship from day one, that doesn't have to fade. So unconsciously, we bring energy into the relationship from having a need to feel complete. Consciously, we can put energy into the relationship by saying, I'm going to serve you. Will you serve me? You agree to do that, and you find the ways of doing things that have meaning for your partner that bring the energy back into the relationship. Because the relationship is a separate entity. And I know I've said this on some other calls, that some of you are listening to this, but when I'm with someone, they are who they are, I am who I am. And then in between us, we relate together. And that's a container. And in that container, we need to put in reasons for being together. We need to put in goals for being together. Like when my fiance moves here or I move there, I'm going to make coffee for her in the morning. She really likes that idea. She likes the idea of me making breakfast for her. She likes the idea of we're going to plan on vacations together. I just like having someone around. I'm actually pretty easy to please. There's these things that we do for each other that put energy into the relationship, that set goals, that build the energy, whether it's going to a movie together, going to dinner together, having a fun vacation together, just sitting together and holding hands, watching a movie, whatever it is that you do together to put energy into the relationship and build the charge, that's how you take a stale relationship and re-inject it. As long as there's the foundation of respect and trust between two people, All you need to do is decide, oh, what is it you would want me to do for you in this relationship? And you come to an agreement about that, and you do it. So, again, it's fairly simple. You actually, strangely enough, ask the person that you're with, what is it you want out of being in this relationship with me? What's important to you? You know, one of my fiance's high values is that she can learn from me. And I like that because I can learn from her, and that was one of the things that attracted me to her. So it works out really well. We can teach each other what we know. She's from another country. She knows another culture. We can both teach each other about our respective cultures and things we know. So all you got to do, it's so incredibly easy. People don't get this. Focus on simplicity. Always look for the simplest solution to anything. And again, think of it as a business relationship if you really want to. People get in the business relationship because it's mutually beneficial. When you're in a romantic relationship, you just happen to hopefully love each other and do it because it comes from the heart as opposed to from a desire to make money. But you still need to love what you're doing with that person. And that's how you make things better when it gets dull.
I agree with everything you said. And I do know that there are certain things when you start out in a relationship that you have to have from the partner. And if you don't have them, you need to look at it twice because, again, it's like, you know, one thing you said about being trusting your partner, that's just got to be a number one. Trust and respect, those two are the right there. They're the big ones. And but if you're in a relationship with someone who's been in several relationships before you and their partners ran around on them, and so they have these trust issues, and so that can be a problem.
Actually, no, I disagree. It's actually very simple. I've heard this from plenty of people. It's very simple. If the first time somebody you're with starts complaining about what prior partners did, you just say, wait, stop there. I am not them. Tell me what's important to you. And if the person you're talking to, this person who's got issues with past trust relationships, can't let it go, you end it right then and there. That's the kind of thing you find out early in a relationship, because if somebody's got a lot of baggage about trust and stuff, you would want to end it right away. I don't care how much potential you see for the relationship. If that person can't make a commitment to decide that they're going to trust you because you're not them, then
Right. Why
would you get into it? I mean, a woman that says all men are cheaters, or a man that says all women are cheaters and just holds to it, it's like, and says, I know, I love you and I want to be with you. I know you're going to cheat on me, but I'm just, that's okay. I accept that. And you just say, run away. Get away from that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, Drew, we've got one more person, and we've got about 10 more minutes. Let's bring Cheryl in from Michigan, see what she has to say.
Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl.
Cheryl.
Cheryl, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. How are you both? Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that's online, or to you. Happy Mother's Day, even though it was yesterday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful thought.
Welcome. I had a question regarding a guy named Sam. Do you see things working out, or will I continue to hear from him? Please and thank you.
Oh. You want to ask me what I see about some guy named Sam, you said?
Yes.
Okay, when did you meet him?
Oh, 3 years ago. Oh,
3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And what's been your level of contact with him since then?
Within a month.
You were with him a month then, or you've been with him the past month?
And I haven't heard from him within a month. The last time I saw him was in February.
Okay. Looking. Yeah, let that one go. I don't mean to be cruel.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you wanted to get out of that relationship with him?
It's something I see in him, something that I feel that I should be a part of. Because if not, it out of everyone else, I walked away from. But it's something that every time I walk away, it draws me back to him. So it's something there that I see.
Give me a moment here. I'm still working on learning to do this stuff. Do you know how to get a hold of him?
Mm-hmm.
Did you tell him you want to be a part of that?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Every time I call and contact, it's just been no response and ignore. Even though he, treats me or ignore me the way he does, it's just still something that draws me back to him. I don't know what it is.
I think you need to be real open and honest with him. Just, I mean, whatever means of contact you have, just lay it out for him and say, hey, dude, this is what I see in you. I want to be part of it. Why don't we figure that out?
But how would I know if he wants the same or not? How would I know if he wants the same or not? Or would that scare him away? I want to scare him away.
Well, right now, what have you got to lose? He's not there.
I don't know.
I mean, let's just suppose for a moment the possibility that what you're saying that you see in him is something that he wants but doesn't believe in himself. Okay?
But how would I know if that's something he wants without him telling me or being open with me being open with him?
Disconnect from that. Okay. So let's go back and let's look at this rationally. Okay, right now he's not around.
Mm-hmm.
So you got nothing to lose. Okay?
Right. Okay.
He's not responding to you.
Mm-hmm. But like within a month, I have been making contact. It's just been ignoring and everything like that. So one day last week, I decided to call off a friend's phone. He answered, and I was just telling him, oh, I miss you so much. So he told me, well, text me, and I text him, and he still haven't responded back. But go ahead, continue.
Okay, what are you contributing in a relationship? If you say, I miss you so much, that's going to sound needy.
Well, yeah.
I'm not trying to be cruel here. I'm just going to strip it yet. It sounds needy. And one of the number one things I like about my new fiance is that she absolutely believes in me, and she sees the best in me. She knows I can be more. That's something that I think is really important in a woman, for me. My ex-wife did that with me. And that's like unconditional love, unconditional faith. Now, suppose he's never had that feeling from a woman. Instead, he's had this feeling of obligation or being put upon or whatever. You know, suppose that the one thing that you see in him that so attracts you to him is the thing you need to tell him you see he can do and be great in that way. And then that lights him up in a way that he's like, oh, wow, I missed something. Now, on the other hand, if you do that and he says, I don't want to have anything to do with that, then you know you don't want to be around him because that's what you see in him. If the thing that's most attractive about him to you is something he doesn't want to do, why would you want to be with him? That would be silly.
Right.
So not only do you have nothing left to lose, this, I would say, is the best course of action. I can see there's something in his heart. I don't know if it's what you see, but there's something there.
Something there regarding me, or just something in his heart, period. What do you mean by that?
It's something in his heart. So anytime there's a relationship, it has to start with that spark. There's something that brings two people together, and then they build all the rest on that.
No, I'm saying is it regarding me when you say something in his heart?
No. I'm not saying that it's about you. I'm not that good at seeing things. I'm saying there's something there. There's something that's waiting to come out. if what I see is the thing you see and you tell him you want to do, you know, you want to be with him because of that, that could be the right thing for him. Alternatively, his stuff mm-hmm. might come up, his fear, and be like, I don't want to do that. No. In which case, you don't want to try to follow through because you don't want to try to get somebody to do something they don't want to do.
Right.
I mean, okay. I want to build a business, and my fiancé wants me to do that. Now, mm-hmm. my prior girlfriend wanted me to go back and have a corporate job, which I find soul-sucking and hellish. So that relationship couldn't work because she wanted me to do something that while I've been successful in the corporate world before and I can certainly do it, that being the foundation of her choosing to be with me isn't good enough. Now I have a fiance who wants me to build my own business and totally supports me in doing that, even though she knows it's going to be difficult. But it's what I want to do. So she's supporting me in what I want to do. So what I'm saying is, if what you see in him is that thing mm-hmm. that he knows he wants to do and that you support him in that when maybe no one else believes in him, that's a good thing to share with someone. That's why you got to be open and honest. I mean, like, it's not like a first date kind of thing. That will scare a guy. You know, like, I see this greatness in you, blah, 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 and I want to be a part of it. And then he will run screaming.
He's gone
right now.
Right. Our relationship just been basically start off with friends with benefits, so me bringing that up to him probably won't change a bit.
give it a shot. You got to be honest. In football they call it the Hail Mary, but you know, you just got to be honest. When two people come together, mm-hmm. the relationship has to keep going. This is another thing I was hoping to cover tonight. Let's see if we have time. I mean, one of my clients was like, well, I'm going to give this guy a chance. I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, I feel like I'm being judgmental if I don't give him a chance. And I'm like, no, it's called enforcing your boundaries. Why would you want to get in a relationship with somebody who isn't what you want? There's 7.5 billion people on the planet. I'm sure there's one that you might actually like instead of feel, oh, I feel bad if I don't give him a chance. No, don't do that. It's a bad idea. Just pick, decide what you want. You know, like for me, I want a woman.
Thank you. You're very helpful. Thank you so much. You both.
Go do it. Let him know. At least let him know that you believe in him. You know, whatever this one thing is, you tell him that you believe him in that, you are going to help him.
Because it's not the intimacy. That draws me to him. I can't.
I know that never works for women.
I've
never had a woman stay with me because the sex wasn't good enough. I mean, oh, it's great, but like I want more. And it's like See, men are simple. We'll stay in for the sex. Women won't, and they make us have to do more. I mean, men have it wrong. They think, if I'm the best lover in the world, I'll help all the women. They're like, no, you won't. They want something else. Sounds good.
Thank you both. You have a great evening.
All right.
Fantastic evening.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Sherelle.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Sherelle.
Sherelle. That's a sweet name. Anyway, have a good evening. And, well, now, Drew, we're coming to an end. This hour's flown by. Would you like to, if you got anything you want to talk about in parting, a message, you know, that you want to leave with everybody?
Well, I think I squeezed it all in there. The most important part is that, you know, however things go, whether you end things or you keep them going, you do it right. You have communication where you're talking about what's important. If there's even the tiniest little unhappiness, you share it and you let it out, you vent it. There's so many people today, and the current election cycle is a perfect example of this. They're saying Donald Trump is cultivating anger. And no, he's giving it an outlet. People are angry about various things. He's giving it an outlet. He's giving it some direction. You know, I like to see things in the positive. So if there's something going on in a relationship that needs to be talked about it, talk about it. Have communication. There's nothing more important for two people being together than to talk about what's important to each other.
And I agree. Well, thank you very much, Drew. We're going to get you back on again real soon. And I know you helped some people tonight, especially me and anyone that's listening in. And I want everyone to tune in next Monday at 4:30, and we are going to have another great show. And thank you for calling in. Annie, did you have anything you want to say at the end here? Our moderator, she's been sitting quietly in the back the whole time. Okay, let's see. Annie?
Maybe we lost her. It's past 5:30.
Hey, honey, I couldn't bring myself in.
I realize that. I brought you in, yeah.
Yeah, what a great show, Drew. And I do like what you said. I am about to celebrate my 31st year anniversary this coming week, or this week. Oh, wow. Thursday.
Congratulations.
And, but the thing is, I'm a pretty vocal person, so I do like to say how I feel. And my husband, he's not a big talker, so he just keeps it to himself. But what it does do is it builds up anger, you know. And I've always felt like I shouldn't be vocal and I should hold my thoughts in, but you kind of said that. How else do you get through it? I mean, you know, if you don't put it out there, I just want to lay it out there and then move on.
Yep. There's a difference between whining and airing of issues. Don't be the steam kettle.
Right.
When the steam kettle goes off, that means it's boiling inside.
Yeah. And that's how I feel sometimes our relationship gets. I mean, sometimes it's good, but then we go through those times, you know, even after all these years. So it is a constant for Sherelle, when she's still listening. I think she dropped off, but it is a constant, you know. So she doesn't want to communicate in the beginning, then it's going to be hard all the way through is how I see it.
Yeah, I absolutely encourage women to talk about their feelings. And my favorite story is one of my girlfriends said to me once, "You never talk about your feelings." And I said, "Well, I'm a software engineer. I don't have those." And so my advice to men is, when your woman wants to talk about feelings, you can say something crazy like, "Well, I feel like a sandwich. I feel like I'm glad you're here." Just say, "I feel," and then throw some words behind it. Not that hard.
Right.
That's right. How we feel. It's not about pointing a finger at them. You know, I was reading something the other day, and it said that every time you have a critical remark that you make towards your partner or someone and that you don't like about them, then all you need to do is say, "Yeah, and that's me too. You know, I don't like blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and that's me too." So I've been doing that. Really stops you from complaining about people and situations. Well, thank you, Drew, and have a great evening, everyone. It was a wonderful show.
Yes, it was.
Thank you.
And who do we know who's here next week?
No, I haven't gotten set up yet. I'm still talking to some people.
Okay. Well, be watching. We'll see everyone next week.
Okay.